I want to say thank you to our praise team. They lead us in good music every week. Amen? Amen. And thank you, Jennifer, for a wonderful presentation. It's just an exciting time to be able to go back to Awana and do it like we had been used to doing it. And so I hope and I pray that you'll be stirred in your spirit to see one of these ladies and say, you know what, I can do that. I can help with that. So you saw all the needs there. And so I am looking forward to a great year for Awana. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, you are holy. Lord Jesus, you are holy. And you are worthy, O God, of our worship and praise. You are so worthy, and we have come here this morning to worship you, to give you praise, to give you thanks. And also, as we worship you, Father, to hear from your Spirit, may you speak to us through these songs, through conversation with one another, through the Scripture. Speak to us, O God, and move us to be a people of God where you want us to be, walking with Jesus, filled with the Spirit, loving you with all of our hearts, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Thank you, Father, for this morning's opportunity to worship. We do pray for the names on that prayer list. We do pray, Father, that you would comfort, that you would encourage, that you would strengthen, that you would heal, that you would bring peace. And Father, above all else, we pray for the salvation of souls, that people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and truly be transformed by the renewing of their mind, truly be filled with the Holy Spirit, and truly want to follow Jesus until that day you call us home or Jesus comes back. Guide us now as we look at Scripture for a little bit more from what your servant Paul said to the church at Rome. We pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to go to Romans 5. That's where we left off last week. If you got your Bibles, Romans chapter 5. And I neglected to put in Romans chapter 6. We're going to have four verses there too. That's not in your bulletin. So you're going to need your Bible. I hope you've got it. Before we get there, while we're turning there, these flowers, these beautiful flowers, Pastor Charles reminded us this morning, these are in memory of Evelyn from yesterday's funeral. But they also remind me of another story, and that story took place in the afternoon because I went out to Poplar Cemetery to do a burial for a long, long-term friend that was in Leader Poplar for Staples, this whole area, for 92 years. But here's what struck me. When I got there, Sherry and I have had a plot of ground there. You know we're going to need a plot in the cemetery. You all will, too, someday. And so we had this plot of ground there for a long time, my wife and I. And I told Sherry over the years, you know, we really should put a headstone that would take that responsibility off of our children so they don't have to do that. My wife was not in favor of a headstone. She did not want to see her name in granite. Well, she relented after some years of pressure, and she and I have our headstone there, strategically located at Poplar Cemetery. Well, upon my arrival yesterday, I'm walking towards Ernie's grave, and I come upon our headstone that happens to be right beside the road, and I look there, and I notice someone has placed flowers. I thought about taking a picture for my beloved, but I thought she wasn't in favor of the stone. She's not going to be happy somebody's now placing flowers on my grave. So I brought her the flowers. I just plucked them up off the grave and thought, they're not necessary here. I'll just hand them to my wife. So she has the flowers. I'm sure it was somebody just being thoughtful and kind, but I told my grandson this morning when he got up and was getting ready for church, I assured him, I apparently am just a figment of your imagination. Apparently I am dead, because somebody is already putting flowers on my grave. But I think I'm still here. Now, enough of the silliness. Let us move to Romans chapter 5. We looked at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, where Paul said, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as you press, we looked at some verses around that. And as you press on through the chapter, Paul begins to describe this contrast. And he uses this statement, one man this, one man that. And we're going to see that one man in a moment. And so I want to pick it up there in verse 15. I'm actually going to read 12 first, and then take 15 on through. And the title of today's message is Grace Abounded Much More. And when you see that contrast between how sin entered in by one man and grace and life and justification entered in through the other man, Jesus, you can begin to see the picture that he's painting, how grace abounded much more. And that's what we're going to get to, I hope, in the next 21 minutes. That's all the time I have left. And so let us pick it up at Romans chapter 5, and I will press on to 6 just a little bit, because the conversation doesn't stop in 5, it presses on into 6. Romans 5 and 12 says this, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." Now, if we stopped right there, it would be a gloomy picture. But he doesn't stop there. Remember how he started the chapter. Those who have been born of God, who have surrendered our lives completely to Christ, in his terminology, last week we saw justified and reconciled. So it doesn't end with the story doesn't end with verse 12. Let us pick it up in 15. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." Now, I know this is a mouthful. Stay with me. I'll get through it. I'll put it on the big screen in a different form so you can see it clearer. "And the gift," Paul said, "is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation." We know that. That's what he said in verse 12. "But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification." There's that word again. "Just as if I'd never sinned," as Pastor Charles said 2 weeks ago. "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life." We're almost done. Hang on. I know it looks complicated. It's not that bad. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous." And then Paul concludes with these verses. "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." I'll speak to that in a minute. "But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Are you still with me? Amen. I know it's a mouthful. I know it's a lot, but it's really not that bad. Let me pick it apart just a little bit. The folks have put together a bullet point for me. Let's look at these contrasts for a minute while we set the stage. Verse 15. You follow along there. Here's a breakdown of it in simpler form, perhaps. Through Adam, the Bible said, through one man's sin, many died. But also in verse 15, through one man's grace, that's Jesus, the gift of grace and righteousness abounded to many. You see these contrasts all the way through this. 16, through one man, that was Adam, judgment and condemnation came to the human race. Also in 16, through one man, that's Jesus, came justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. Next verse, again he mentions through one man's trespass, that's Adam, death took hold of the human race. Also in 17, through one man, Jesus, believers reign no longer in death, but in life. I say hallelujah. Verse 18, through one man's trespass, his offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. And also in 18, through one man, Jesus, righteousness and justification came to many. You see, there's one more, but you see the differences now. You see the contrast. You see what he's telling us. Are you seeing it, brothers and sisters? Once you break it down, it's not quite as hard as when you just read through it and think, oh, that looks jumbled. Oh, that looks confusing. It's not that bad. He's giving us this vivid picture of the contrast of the sin entering in through Adam and the beauty of the grace and righteousness and justification through Jesus. He's spelling this out. He's giving this his picture. And then in 19, through Adam's disobedience to God, many were made sinners. 19, through one man's obedience, that's Jesus' death on the cross, many will be made righteous. I say thanks be to God. Now, we've got the stage set, okay? We've seen what he's pictured here for us. And then he presses on and reminds us in verse 20 what he'd already mentioned to us back in Romans 2 and 20. He says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. Okay, so in through Adam comes sin. And then in comes the law to help us be aware of what is sin. See what he says? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, that we might be aware of what is sinning against God. The law helps us be aware of that. He said in Romans 2:20, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Are you still tracking with me, brothers and sisters? And later in that same verse, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Hallelujah. That's good news, amen? Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now, I want us to look at the context here of what Paul is saying. We've got the picture. It's been clear now. Through Adam, sin entered in to the human race, to the human equation, to the human experience. Sin translates to judgment, condemnation, and death. We saw the picture, did we not? That's what we saw as he painted out for us. Sin entered into the human equation through Adam, and sin left untouched translate to judgment, condemnation, and death. But here's where I like to throw in, but God. Remember a week ago, if you were here, we saw in verse 8, this is the verse that our Awana kids oftentimes memorize, but God. In 8 it says, demonstrated his love towards us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's leading up to this picture he's painting now that we just saw in 15 through 19. And so we come to this point again, and we see the context of what Paul is saying. Sin tarnished everything. It changed everything that God intended with Adam and Eve from the very beginning. Sin changed it all. And when we get that flavor, we get that picture, we get that understanding, then we see again, but God. And even though we see this picture that sin was abounding and sin was destroying and sin was condemning, even though all of that was a reality, we get to that point where Paul writes in 20, but where sin was abounding, grace abounded much more. Hallelujah. I've said this a lot of times over the years, I know, but today is a good application for it again. I've said this, no matter how far our sin has taken us away from God, God's grace is there waiting for us to turn to God. Hallelujah. No matter how far, people say, Jim, you don't know how bad I've been. Our people have told others, they might be sitting on death row for mass murder or whatever. You don't understand how bad I have been. Look at the verse. Where sin abounded, grace abounded a whole lot more. That's really good news. No matter where my sin took me, or yours took you, or took the person on death row for some criminal offenses, where sin was abounding, Paul said, thanks be to Jesus, thanks be to God, grace abounded much more. Now let me bring this chapter to a close, because he doesn't stop at this chapter. I want to press on 4 verses of the next to pull this all together. So that as sin reigned in death, he concludes, verse 21, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. So here he's changed in this sentence from death to life because of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul continues the conversation. I'll tell you why here in just a minute. He continues the conversation a little bit further into chapter 6. Not sure why we have a chapter break there, but we do. The conversation doesn't stop at 5, it continues in 6. And so I want us to press on 4 more verses and pull this all together before we close. Now this, I don't know if we got this. Oh, you do have it. Good. Wonderful. I didn't put it in the bulletin. And so here's what Romans 6 says. Paul is continuing the conversation. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do you understand the question, friends? It's based on the statement back in 20 that says, moreover, law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. This is a follow-up statement to that, because he is challenging us. He's challenging the church at Rome and everybody in between. He is simply, he's challenging us to think this through now. Just because grace abounded much more and it will cover a multitude of sins, it does not mean that grace gives you a license to sin. Look at what he says. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because that's what he said. Where sin was abounding, grace abounded much more. So he comes back with this statement that says, do not be confused by this. This is not a license for you to keep sinning. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers his own question. And he says, emphatically, no, certainly not. He follows up that certainly not with, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in sin? That's what he's challenging us with. He does not want us to be confused over the idea, okay, we've got this wonderful, abounding grace of God that is so big and so magnificent, but let us not continue to say, well, I'll just go ahead and keep doing what I'm doing because I know grace is available. He's telling us, don't go there. You see that, brothers and sisters? Grace does not give the believer and spirit-filled follower of Jesus a license to keep sinning. That's what he's saying. And so I want us not to be confused about, because I have heard people confused about this verse 20. Paul says, no, we should not continue in sin, that giving grace this opportunity to keep abounding. No, we shouldn't do that. And he challenges us, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hallelujah. Why does Paul keep going beyond chapter 5? Because he's not finished. And because he doesn't want us nor them to be misled by this beautiful, abundant grace to allow us to think that, well, I can just go ahead and get forgiveness when I sin. He doesn't stop at chapter 5 because he wants us to be clear. Grace doesn't give the believer a license to keep sinning. That's why he goes on in this chapter. Let me give you a quick quote before I wrap it up. I was reading a pastor's, maybe it wasn't a pastor's story. It was about a pastor. In Christian Post this week, the pastor himself is Pastor Steve Poe, lead pastor of Northview Church in Indiana. This particular pastor took that particular church in Indiana from a congregation of 500 to 11,000. Praise be to God. Here's what Pastor Poe says. It just happens to fit with this illustration that Paul gives us. Here's what he said, and I quote, "When you accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, it breaks sin's hold on you. It gives us the power to say no to sin." That's exactly what Paul is talking about. And so for us to say, well, I'm still just caught up in this sin, I'm still continuing in this sin, Paul reminds the believer, the one, us, who have committed our lives to Christ, let us not use the argument, okay, because we have this abounding available grace, let us not use that as an excuse to continue to sin. That's what he says. And I like what Pastor Steve said, because when we come to Christ, it is a brand new day. The Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in us, and we, as Pastor Steve said, have the power to say no to sin. Will we always do that? Probably not. But we should, because Paul says, you have put on Christ, you have died, you have raised a newness of life. It's time, as he concluded, to walk in newness of life. Now let me say this and I'll close. The argument that I have had presented to me, well, I'm saved, Jim, so I can do whatever, And according to this verse, God's grace is abounding way more than my sin. I would simply say that's a very bad argument. If I am making excuses for my sin, okay, let me just say this. I still got a minute or two. If I have not been born of God, if I have not entered into His kingdom, into His family, because I have repented of my sin, I have turned to Christ knowing He is the Savior and I'm a sinner and I need Him. If I haven't got there, none of this makes any sense. But if I have claimed Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit of God is now at our internal power, if you will. And it's time to walk away from the sin that used to entangle us. Paul says it in the next letter in Corinthians when he lists this long list of nastiness. It's all sin. And then he said, and such were some of you. But when we know Christ, it's a brand new day. And by the power of the Spirit and the reading of the Scripture and praying often, being in Bible studies and being accountable with other people, it's time to say no to who we used to be and yes to following Jesus in a brand new day. That's what Paul is telling us about the abounding grace of God. Amen? So, let me say this and we'll sing this last song. Are you here today or watching online and you're not sure if you've been justified? You're not sure if you've been reconciled to God? The blood has been shed. The work on the cross is complete. The grace is available. But have you been justified? Just as if I'd never sinned, because you have been washed in the blood, because you have embraced Christ, you have repented of sin, you have believed in your heart that He is the Savior. Have you embraced it by faith? Because if the answer is no, friends, do not delay. Eternity is at stake. And if you have, if the answer is yes, yes, I've been justified. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. Thank you for your washing me. Thank you for being my Savior. Then my challenge is, as Paul said, then walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life, brothers and sisters. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify your Father in heaven. Walk in newness of life.
Heavenly Father, we do stand here today in your presence wondering about that amazing love and how it can be that you would send your Son to die for us. So, Father, we also marvel in your great mercy and grace that we learned about today. To know, Father, that in literal terms, we can't outbad your goodness and your grace, but also hear the warning not to test those boundaries. So, Father, if we have drifted away, turned away, or, Father, have just been living in an attitude of apathy, that, Father, we will allow that quickening ray in the dungeons of our heart to inflame us with the light of Christ, so that as we move forward from this place, we will be illumined and that we will walk away from those things that pull us from you. Help us to shine, Father, even on this more clouded day, the brilliance of your grace and of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.